The joyful sounds of children. Gotta love it. One of the teachers asked me this morning if we could hear the kids during the class. I said yes. And we love hearing the kids during the class. Joyful sounds of children. Jesus said that God was going to perfect praise through them, right? Exciting to think about. So, excited to be together with you all as we do every week, opening up God's Word and waiting for Him to speak into our lives. Please grab your copy of the Bible. Turn with me this morning to Colossians chapter 3. While you're turning there, let's just review briefly. As the church, we are the pillar and support of the truth, according to the Bible. We've talked about five ways that we support the truth. First, by building relationships with people. Second, by praying for those people. We bring God into the equation, ask for His help. Third, we support the truth by understanding it, understanding this plan of salvation, so that we will be comfortable talking with other people about it. Fourth, we support the truth through good, solid, hard work. Loving people, serving people, speaking with people, even though it may be challenging at times. And fifth, we support the truth by living it out in our own lives. You have been transformed. You are a new creature in Christ. So live a life of faith. Walk with Him and serve Him. Chapter 2. Cautions us to not be distracted by some things. Don't be distracted by the philosophies of this world, the traditions of this world. Don't be distracted by your flesh. And don't be distracted by false religion. Things like mysticism, legalism, etc. So then we hit chapter 3, and this is where things get really practical. As J. Vernon McGee used to say, this is where the rubber meets the road. Because we can just live this out. So we talked about how we should have our eyes fixed on Christ. Last week, we talked about how we should put off sin, put to death those old sinful habits. And we talked about how to do that. Number one, we have to label it. We have to identify it. We look at God's Word, we clearly identify it, and then we agree with God's Word, and don't drink the poison. If you've read that label on that bottle, don't drink it. So this week, we're diving into a new idea, and that is, after we have put off the old, we're going to put on the new. So let's pray together. We'll dive into what Paul has to say about this. We're only going to get to a couple of verses today because this thing we're looking at is just very, very crucial for our lives. Please pray with me. Lord in heaven, I just want to thank You that You meet here with us each week as we gather. Lord, we're not here in this building alone, but Lord, Your glory fills this place. Lord, I think of how the psalm writer said, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain You. How much less this little house that I've built. Lord, we just thank You for the amazing, powerful, almighty, all-knowing, loving God that You are. We worship You together today, Lord. And we do pray that You'll be the one speaking today. Lord, would You just come into this building in a very special way and meet the need of each heart, Lord. Whether that's for encouragement or correction, just to have our souls restored, whatever that need would be today, we ask You, Father in heaven, in the name of Your Son Jesus, to do it. Amen. All right, dive into, let's see, we finished up with verse 9, but I want us to read verse 9 again so that you can see the transition that Paul is making here, and so that you can see the illustration he's using. So start in verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self. So stop there for a moment. The picture that Paul's giving us here is changing your clothes, right? You're taking off one set of clothes, and you're putting on another set of clothes. Many of you know, I grew up in this area on a little dairy farm, and so we had a lot of cows, and almost every night some of those cows were in the barn. In the winter, they were all in the barn, but almost all year long, some of them were in the barn, and I'm telling you, they could make a mess. So every day, we would go out there with some fresh straw and spread it all around out in that stall and give them a nice clean bed to lie on. But by the next morning, they had wrecked it again. So every so often, one of my wonderful jobs on the farm was to back up the manure spreader to the door, get a pitchfork, and fork layer after layer of poop and straw into the back of this manure spreader, and then go spread it out on the field. I'm telling you, by the time I got up to the house, there is nothing that my family wanted more than for me to take off those old clothes and get a thorough bath and put on some fresh, clean clothes. I am here to tell you, they would not tolerate me putting on that old set of clothes again. And this is the exact picture that Paul is giving us. You have been forgiven and washed clean in Christ. Don't put those things back on. Put on these brand spanking clean new garments that the Lord Jesus has given you. You are a new creature in Christ. I want you to see this for yourself. I want us to turn to several places in your Bible this morning. Just want you to be comfortable and familiar with it, and also read these words for yourself. So keep your finger here and turn back a couple of chapters to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, okay? Not very far from where we were in Colossians. And I just want you to read one verse with me. This is verse 17. Paul writes and he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. You are a brand new creature if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given you, he's cleaned you up, and he's given you a new heart with new desires. What does this feel like? What does it look like? I know everyone's experience is a little bit different, but I'd just like to describe my experience to you a little bit again this morning. I remember the day this happened. I felt like this huge weight got lifted off of my shoulders because I had been arguing with the Lord about this for a few weeks, about actually humbling myself and asking for him to forgive me. So this huge weight got lifted off of me, and I was so excited about the future. I can remember the drive home with my family. Everything looked different. And I had decided I was going to be a different person. I was going to obey my mom and my dad. I was going to get along well with my brothers and sisters. I was so excited about the future. But then as the days went by, and the months went by, and even the years went by, I noticed the journey sometimes felt a little bit long, because I wasn't perfect yet. And I was still making mistakes. But still, I understood from the Bible that the Lord wanted me to put on the new self. And so the journey got long. But brothers and sisters, that's normal from what I understand the Christian life. Because we are breaking out of old ruts and old habits, things that used to be a huge part of our lives. We're actually breaking away from the way we were born. The Bible says we were born with a sinful nature. So we shouldn't be surprised that there's a journey there. Now, why doesn't God just zap me or zap us and instantly make us perfect? I don't have all the answers to that question. I think I have some of the answers. I believe that God wants us to be on a mission here, and that it's helpful to the world around us to see that we struggle with some of the same temptations and things that they do. And so as God works in us to overcome those things, they see that he's powerful. They see that he could even change them. But I don't have all the answers. I just know that this journey of putting on the new self requires patience. It requires, we have to cooperate with our Heavenly Father. It's not something that he just magically does. We have to say yes to him each day. I also know that it requires humility, this journey that we're on. Why does it require humility, Sam? Because I'm probably going to have to apologize to somebody for something. Right? I'm going to have to say, you know what? Man, I am so sorry I said this thing or that thing. That was wrong of me. I remember so many different things in my life that I did. And some of them I managed to apologize for that day. I can remember some things in my life that the Lord just kept bringing them back to my mind. Sam, you know, that was wrong. It might have been from years ago. And finally, the Lord got a hold of me, and I went back and I apologized to some people for some things that I had done to hurt them. It's a journey. But brothers and sisters, I am telling you, it is worth it. This journey is so worth it. Putting on the new self. God wants you and I to become very different people. Why is it so worth it? What is it about this? Go back to verse 10 with me. We didn't finish the verse. It says, "And you have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him." This new self that you are putting on is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another place in the Bible where Paul puts it this way. He says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no occasion for the flesh." Okay, same idea. You're putting off the flesh. You're putting on Christ. So you're being remade into the image of God. Isn't that incredible to think about? That you are being made into his very image. I want you to keep your finger here again, if you would, and turn with me to the very first chapter in your Bible. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Here's a good verse to keep close to your heart, or a couple of verses. Genesis chapter 1, start with me in verse 26. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Dear friends, you were made in the very image of God. You are His representatives. This is His original plan. Now, as you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, that plan was marred, and they brought sin into the world, and we inherited that. But in Christ, you are being restored to God's original plan. And the plan is, you're made in His image. You're His representative. So just like it said in those verses we just read in Genesis, you know, go and subdue the earth, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, etc. Whatever your occupation is, you know, whether you're an architect, a builder, a nurse, a doctor, a secretary, or a farmer, whatever your occupation is, you're God's representative there. And how can you most effectively be His representative? By becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. Becoming like Him. I remember this event like it was yesterday. Kathy got off the phone. She'd been talking with John over in China. And she was so excited. John had been in China for a few years. And he had been studying in one of the universities over there. He finished his degree, so he started teaching over in China. And Kathy came to me, huge grin on her face. She said, "You know what John just told me?" John said, "Mom, I've started teaching. I was born to do this." He was just so excited. And friends, I want you to know, you were born to be like your Creator. There is nothing that is going to give you more joy, more satisfaction, more fulfillment, more rewards in your life than becoming like your Creator. Absolutely nothing. I'm just here to tell you. So remember, as you are putting off the old and you're putting on the new self, you are putting on Christ. You are putting on Christ-likeness. So how do we make this practical? Okay, we said this is the practical chapter. Okay, well, just remember our journey last week. Okay, we're supposed to put off sin. How do we do it? Well, first of all, we have to label it. Okay, I know the world doesn't like this anymore, but you have to label it. You have to clearly identify it. So we went into the Word of God. We looked at each of those words that Paul was, you know, took us a little while, right? And you probably should go deeper than we did last week. But we looked at each of those words. This is sinful. This is what we're, when are we engaged in this wickedness, in this sinfulness, and we identified it. And then the second step is that we have to agree with the Word of God and not drink the poison. Like that little jar of strychnine, if you've read the label, you wouldn't drink the poison. And so those are the two steps. And so now as we are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, the process is the same thing. First of all, we have to look clearly at the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to see Him in the Bible and identify what He is like. And that's going to be our journey pretty much for the rest of this chapter, much of the rest of this book. Actually, starting next week, we're going to hit verse 12. And we are basically going to go through one verse each week. And we're just going to look at picture after picture after picture of what the Lord Jesus looks like so that we can then say, "Okay, Lord, that's me. Would you make that true in my life?" That's the step. You read the word, you identify it, and then you, with God's help, you ask him to make that you so that you become that person. If you would keep your finger here again and turn back to 2 Corinthians again. This time go to chapter 3. I want you to read one more verse there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Actually, we're going to talk about this one as we go through it. I'm not just going to read it. But 2 Corinthians 3, this is verse 18. He says, "But we all, with unveiled face..." So what's that talking about? I believe that's saying when you come to Christ, when you become a Christian, God takes the blinders off. Okay? He removes the blinders. So you can now read the Word of God. You can ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand it. And the blinders have been removed. "We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord..." What's that talking about? The glory of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is the most glorious, amazing person you and I could ever imagine. Think of every high ideal, every godly character quality that you can think of, and that's the Lord Jesus. He is completely humble, gentle, kind, patient, generous, forgiving. He is a man of love and service, etc. Everything amazing as far as a person's character that you can think of, that's Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. From one degree of glory to the next degree of glory to the next degree of glory. It's a lifelong journey, brothers and sisters. A lifelong journey. And it is so worth it that you are becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a simple idea, but it is also a very powerful idea. Becoming like Christ. How else can we picture this? I just wanted to pile up as many illustrations as I could come up with. You all probably remember, it wasn't very long ago, when someone that I used to listen to occasionally was assassinated. His name was Charlie Kirk. I remember distinctly, multiple people said this to me, and I read it online a number of times. They said, "Now we are all Charlie Kirk." Now, I'm not trying to get into a political conversation. I think they were saying that because he talked about the Lord so much. But you know what? We are all Jesus Christ. You and I are, as some people have said it, his hands and his feet. My wife used to love saying, "You are Jesus with the skin on." And I think what she means by that is he's in heaven now. Sometimes it's not that easy for my neighbor to see him. But my neighbor sees me. So you and I, God's intention for us as we're putting on the new self, put off the old, put on the new self, is to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where we're going to go in the weeks to come as soon as we hit verse 12. But before we do, I want us to look at one more verse here, verse 11, because it kind of gives us a new dimension to this picture that we're talking about. He says, "This is a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, But Christ is all and in all. So what he's saying here is that in Christ, all of these little insignificant differences between us have been removed. That we are being united and made as one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, so many of those things are just so insignificant. Those things that divide us. I mean, take the color of our skin, for example. Why in the world do we let this divide us? I heard the most interesting quote. Many of you probably remember Ben Carson. He's the neurosurgeon who, actually he was in running for president at one point. But he tells the story. He said there was an NPR reporter one day asked him, "So why, Mr. Carson, why don't you talk very much about race? You're a man of color." And he said, "Because I'm a neurosurgeon." And the reporter screwed up his face and he said, "What's that got to do with anything?" He said, "Well, when I go in the operating room and start operating on someone, I am working on the thing that makes them who they are. And on the inside, we're all the same. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin." Well, brothers and sisters, even more so in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this verse is saying. Christ is removing all of those things that so easily divide us. We are becoming a new creature in Christ. We're putting on the new self, and we are coming together because of it. There's this guy, I'm sure you've heard of him, you've probably heard of him. His name's A.W. Tozer. He was really a thinker. He wrote this book called The Pursuit of God. I recommend it to you if you have a chance to read it. But here's something he wrote on this very topic. He said, "Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow." So he then goes on to apply that for us. He said, "So 100 worshipers meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God and strive for closer fellowship." He's just basically saying, the way to unity and oneness is not to focus on unity and oneness. It's to look at Christ. It's to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is having us do here. Put off the old sinful ways. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to identify it together, brothers and sisters. I can't wait for us to get there. We're going to look at him carefully. But be reading your Bible. Read the Gospels. That's a picture of your life now. Jesus with the skin on. You are called to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are supposed to be tuning into him, and because of that, we'll be united even more so with one another. And this is so much a part of God's plans, brothers and sisters. We're done in Colossians, but I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 17. And I just want you to see this from another angle. Let's look at it, we'll say, from Jesus' point of view. Because in John 17, the whole chapter is Jesus praying. Okay, he's just about to go and face the cross and eventually leave this planet. But before he does, he spends this time in prayer, and he's asking his Heavenly Father for two main things. He's basically praying for his disciples that he's about to leave behind, and he is praying for you and for me. So I want you to see what he's asking his Father for. Start with me in verse 20. John 17, 20, he says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone. That would be the disciples that are possibly right there close to him. But for those also who believe in me through their word. Okay, so he's praying for you. Verse 21, that they may all be one. Even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Okay, so Jesus wants you connected to him. Okay, right now it's a journey of faith. One day, face to face. But he wants you connected to him. Keep going in verse 22. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them. There we go again. He's the most glorious creature in the universe. But he's saying, I've given it to you. I want you to be like me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one. Here's a primary purpose of you putting on the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you and I will be united, that we'll be one with one another because we're like him. That they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me. Okay, there's one huge goal. The Lord Jesus wants people to know that the Father sent him to this planet, and that he gave his life for our sins. And he says this is one of the ways that they'll know because of the transformation that's taking place in your lives. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus wants the world to know how much the Father loves you. And this verse says that he loves you just like he loves his Son. That's an incredible thought to me. Think about it. You know, Jesus has just been baptized by John the Baptist. He comes up out of the Jordan River, and there's this voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's his attitude toward you. This is my beloved Son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. That's God's attitude toward you today. And his goals for you are to become like him. This is his original goal. All we're doing in this pursuit is returning to that original goal God had for us. So next week we're going to continue the journey. We're going to start with verse 12 and just identify what the Lord Jesus Christ looks like and ask God to help us put those same things into our lives. Please pray together with me. Dear Lord in heaven, I do thank you so much for this book, the Bible. Lord, I thank you that you didn't just leave us all alone, Lord, when we went astray. But Lord, in your great love, you came into our lives, Lord. You tore open the heavens. You came down to this earth. And Lord, you made a way for us to be forgiven and know you. We just thank you and worship you, Father. And Lord, we all together this morning pray, would you just continue your work in each of our lives, Lord? Make us like you. Make me like you, Lord. Make me like you. Make us like you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.